Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. At Barah Ministries, we're pursuing truth through the study of the Word of God. And because of the internet, a gracious provision from our omnipotent God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Barah Ministries has a worldwide reach and an intimate impact on lives. Thank you, Lord, for providing a way for anyone with internet access to be reached by your words. Let's begin today with a few announcements. Aha! My announcement thing is not moving here. Okay. Use the mouse, huh? I can use the mouse. Then we can change the battery. That's not the mouse. Got it. There it is. Okay, now we're good. All right, so a few announcements. Deacons meeting April 30th, 7:30 to 10. So a couple things for the deacons. We need to get feedback back to Mark about the website, and I need feedback from you on the book. So let's get that done sooner rather than later. We'll wrap that up at the April 30th meeting. The next Lord's Supper celebration is on Mother's Day, May 8th. And we'll be celebrating all you mothers out there. The Coeur d'Alene Bible Conference in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho is August 5th and 6th. Save up your ducats. Get your hotels booked. That is a busy time in Coeur d'Alene, so you better get busy on the hotels. We expect to see all the people that were there last year there again this year. So, you know, you can actually go two places if you wanted to, not just one. So, you know, you don't want to die with any money left here. That's just all I want to tell you. So I've already figured out how nobody I love is getting anything. You know, all right, that's not exactly true. I'll take care of Lila, but the rest of them? Rah, 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 but the rest of them, forget it. So, Coeur d'Alene Bible Conference, let's have you folks coming up there. I can't wait to see those guys and to spend some time with them. Evening lessons only, three dates, two in August, one in September. August 7 and 21, September 18. So please get those in your calendar so that you don't come and visit us during the day. The New York, Pennsylvania Conference is at Traditions at the Glen in Johnson City, New York, September 16 and 17. You know, the New York conference is in a place where everybody is cross-eyed. You understand that, right? It's like up in the Appalachian Mountains. I don't know if it's the Appalachian Mountains, but it's up where people are cousins and aunts at the same time. They wonder, you know, when they get divorced, they're wondering if they're still cousins, that kind of thing. But this year, this Traditions at the Glen is a really nice place, and there's a lot to do there. There's a spa, it's a golf course, it's really a pretty place. So, you know, it'd be worth you coming there and you get a little vacation, come in a few days early. And we got a great rate for that time of year especially, so just to let you know. Barah Ministries is on. And what does that mean? It means we are on video, we are on audio, we are on readable notes, we are on the radio, we are on the app, we are online. Barah Ministries is on. And what that means is it's never been easier for you to have the Word of God at your disposal all the time. Video lessons, audio lessons, and notes can be seen on the Barah Ministries website at barahministries.com, B-A-R-A-H ministries.com. We're on the radio at KXEG, 1280 AM, The Trumpet, on Sundays at noon in Phoenix. On the way home last week, I was able to hear our lesson, and it sounded terrific. And, guys, you need to let me know when we're about five lessons from being out of lessons so that I can start preparing the next set. So I don't know how many we had in the can. How many did we have in the can total? Do you remember? 18? Oh, that's good. So we're about seven in. So in about 5 weeks, you should ping me on the head so I can start building the next set, because that's an extensive process. It's so funny to me how if you wanted me to do a two-hour lesson, I could prepare it the night before. But if you want me to do a 30-minute lesson, It takes a couple days. It's really hard. So, did you lose your friend? You're looking like you lost your best friend today. Did you lose your best friend? Okay, good. I'm your best friend. What are you talking about? I know Jesus is cool, but he ain't here. I'm your best friend. Yeah, he is. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do a lesson on that later. So thank you for reminding me. The radio lessons also can be pulled up on the website of the radio station, 1280kxeg.com. The Broad Ministries app is downloadable at Google Play, at the Windows Store, the Windows App Store, the iTunes Store, and from the Broad Ministries website. So our lessons are on, and you can have the Word of God all the time from Barah Ministries. Keep those prayers coming, prayer warriors, for the Barah Ministries prayer request group. You know, you want to talk about making a difference? That's one of the ways that the people in this ministry make a tremendous difference, by praying for the people who are requesting prayers, and they are working. Yeah, there's one of my friends who's had cancer, stage 4 cancer, for a really long time. And I've been praying for her. We've been praying for her. And I learned last week that in her next checkup, she might be finding out that she's cancer-free. So take that, cancer. You know, cancer hasn't done well with Barah Ministries people. the scoreboard is heavily against cancer for the people who are part of Barah Ministries. So keep those prayers coming. Happy birthday to John Miller. That was April 14th. So we got to have a birthday party for John when we go up to Coeur d'Alene. And, you know, this is the one birthday that I should never forget. So last week, this should have been on last week, because I should never forget his birthday, being as high as the next day after mine. So we got to have a birthday party for John when we go up there. And then Dana had her birthday yesterday. I got that date wrong last week. So here's the thing about birthdays. So happy birthday, Dana. So here's the thing about birthdays. You guys can pull my coat about the birthdays, because I am infinitely more interested in teaching you the Word of God than I am in remembering your birthdays. Although I love remembering your birthdays, but you know what happened was I look back at last year, and if it wasn't in last year, then I miss it. So be sure to pull my coat on those things. I appreciate when you do that. All right, so let's get some music underway as we prepare our souls for worship. Let's welcome up June Murphy and hear her sing the song, Come See a Man, one of my favorites.
Most of my life, I felt like a woman of ill repute. For the things that I've done and what was done to me, I felt I was of no use. Like the world.
Who knows what I've done?
from the power of sin and death, I have been free. All the guilt and shame I carried from my past was nailed with Christ to the tree. And I know that everything that has happened to me has passed through the Father's hand. And He was faithful and just to allow it all as part of His master plan. And He His own, and I belong to my beloved Savior, and from Him I will never ever roam. And I'm telling you that I know a man who knows all about me, who knows what I've done and the
June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful way we have been created in your likeness, for the amazing way you make our bodies and our minds function, to use the gifts you have given us to have a deeper understanding of you, of your thinking, of your will, of your ways, and of your person. Teach us what you want us to do in the places where you have planted us. Help us day by day to fix the eyes of our hearts and the burning of our desire toward knowing you and obeying you. Use our hands and feet to carry others. Show us, through the enabling power of your Holy Spirit, how to walk in the path that you have set for us, and to walk in that path without straying. Encourage us with your unconditional love to keep on coming to you for the answers. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's Bible lesson, an adventure into the mind of the Lord. An adventure into the mind of the Lord. You know, one of the things that I remember from my athletic career, and I was a phenomenal athlete, you just need to know that. You believe that, don't you, that I was a phenomenal athlete? But you know what made me a phenomenal athlete wasn't necessarily that I had all the talent. In basketball, I got really good toward the end of my basketball career. I could really shoot the lights out of a place. But that really wasn't what made me a valuable member of a team. The thing that made me a valuable member of the team is I didn't care what the scoreboard said. You know, a lot of times the scoreboard will say 3 minutes left and you're down 10. And that meant nothing to me. And I would look in the eyes of my teammates and I would tell them, I don't care what the scoreboard says, we're winning this game. And I can remember two specific instances where that happened. It happened whether I was a player or as a coach, but I'll tell you a couple of situations where I was a fan, and it happened in a situation where I was a coach, and it happened. So from the fan standpoint, actually both of these situations were when I was a fan, but I remember, I was very involved with Elliot, my younger son, when he played basketball. And we had gone to Riverside, California to watch him play, and his team was really good. And the team that they were playing was not really good, but was leading them by 12 points with 3 minutes left. And I was beside myself, and I was that parent. You know, I was that parent in the stand who, if the intensity level wasn't right, I was providing the intensity level by screaming at them. And so they called a timeout with 3 minutes left, and I looked at each player as they came out on the court, and I called them by name. And I said, it's time for the men to show up. And each one comes out, and I said the same thing to them. These kids went on a 17-0 run and blew this team off the floor in the next 3 minutes. And it was miraculous to watch that. And you know why it happened? Because I never care what the scoreboard says. You know, as long as it doesn't say 0-0-0, there's time. So I never care what the scoreboard says, and I always like it to just put the next foot in front of the other and know that I'm going to always have the victory. So, and there was another situation that was like that. Elliot's team, his high school team in his senior year, had been in their timeouts. Every time they would have a timeout, you know, you put your hands together and you say something like, go team, or something goofy. Well, they would say Glendale, right, because that's where the state championship is. And they ended up 13th in the state going into the playoffs, and they were playing the number 4 team. And it's this black team, really athletic, really physical, Cesar Chavez over on the other side of town, who was the 4th seed. And they were beating us pretty badly. And there was a minute 51 seconds left, and we were down 8. And Elliot looked up in the stands, and I looked at him, and I said, boom! So, much louder than that. I think there were people 5 blocks over who heard that. And my cousin was in... My cousin was in from Chicago, and he said, you're insane. And I looked at him and I said, you've known me my whole life. You just figure that out? Because this is my favorite and closest cousin. He should have known. So Elliot hits a 3. The other team comes down. They steal the ball. They go back down. Elliot hits a 3. And so now they're down 2. The other team comes back down the other way. They're fouled. Their best free throw shooter's on the line shooting 2. He misses both shots. Elliot dribbles the ball the length of the court, hits one of his buddies at the top of the key. The kid shoots the ball, falling down, nothing but net, and they win by 1. And then they went on to the state championship in Glendale. And they had the number 1 team down 9 points going into the fourth quarter and then just fell apart. So they ended up 3rd in the state. But the point is, you know, the game's never over until there are all zeros on the scoreboard. And our life is a battle. You know, if you go into Ephesians chapter 6, you know, it says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers, against the world forces of this darkness. And we think about that. Every day our life is a battle. You know, you want to do something as simple as take your phone from Verizon to AT&T, and you just get a beating while you're trying to do something really simple. It's just unbelievable. And then if you aren't participating with the person who's doing it, then you have to hear about it for about 4 or 5 days over and over, right? Because our life is a struggle and a battle in these little bitty things because we live in Satan's kingdom. But there aren't zeros on the scoreboard. So while it may look like you're behind in the game, and it may look like the other team is winning, they do not have the victory. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. Grunt. And so what we get to do is watch and see exactly what it is that our God has done for us. And that's what this lesson is about. It's an adventure into the mind of the Lord. So it asks you to crawl up behind the statue and get behind the statue's eyes and look out and see you as God sees you. And I wonder what it would be like just to spend one day on earth living it the way God wants me to live it. It would be an adventure into the mind of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says this, "Who has known the mind of the Lord so well that he would be qualified to instruct the Lord?" And of course, we know that no one would be that qualified because there is the Creator and then there is the creature. And the things that the Creator wants for us, we as creatures just aren't able to do. We aren't able to do it. Do you understand that? We aren't able to do it. So when you're surprised that you sin, or you're surprised that the world is against you, or you're surprised that things don't always go your way, then you're not taking that adventure from behind the eyes of the Lord. You're not seeing life as he sees it. You're trapped and mired in the human viewpoint of things. And I think that term human viewpoint is such a stupid term, because the fact that we even think that we have a viewpoint that matters is funny to me. Because our viewpoint is skewed. Because we create this thing in our head that we want to become. And it's nothing like what the Lord wants us to become. And there's so many just funny things about it. Like I was thinking about this, that all God wants to do is give to you. And he set it up billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of years ago to do nothing but give to you. Which means that all you have to do is get. And when you start getting, you get so comfortable with getting that you forget why he's giving to you. And why he's giving to you is so that you will get, and then you will turn around and give. And when you get yourself all wrapped up and mired in the self, and you start playing with the lint in your navel and wondering why it is that everything is happening to you and getting sucked into the world's viewpoint, you completely forget that you can be back on top of your game in just a moment by turning around and giving to somebody. See, I have not known the mind of the Lord so well that I could instruct myself, much less instruct him. I don't even know how to tell myself what to do. I don't know how to hold the greatness that the Lord has provided me with in my mind in such a way that I get it. I have spent over 8,500 hours studying and teaching the Word of God in the last 17 years. And a lot more before that. And every day seems like a battle. And when I assess my conduct in light of the Word of God, when I hold myself up to biblical standards, which I have to do every single week, much deeper than you do, I have to expose myself to all these different verses and all these different passages, and then I look at the passage and I say, how am I doing against that? And the answer is always the same. Yeah, you stink. You're not doing it. That is not what you're doing. You're doing exactly the opposite. And when I inspect my conduct in light of the things that God expects from me, I count myself as a miserable failure, even though being a failure is not my desire. And when I wrote that, the first thing that popped into my head is Romans 7. The things that I'm doing, I'm not want to do, I'm not doing, I'm doing the very thing I hate. Every threat to living in and sharing in the victory the Lord has achieved for me at the cross seems to defeat me. Most often, I prefer feeding the lust of the flesh rather than walking by means of the Spirit. In other words, I prefer taking the expedient human view rather than the view of God. And so when somebody does something to me, I much prefer turning around and doing something back to them and yelling at them and pushing them and wishing they were doing things the way they should be doing it, like my way, instead of saying, wow, you didn't do that the way I expected, but I sure do love you. Because that's what God does. I don't do that. Not only do I not do that, I don't want to do that. I want to yell at someone. I ain't gonna lie. Amen? But just for one day, I would love to live a life as if I were reflecting everything that is in God's head. As if I could actually be an imperfect man in a body of corruption, the flesh, and yet still live out a life in which biblical knowledge becomes the wisdom that powers a life of absolute obedience. This is not my life experience. Is it yours? No. Well, then why the hell am I up here teaching you guys if you aren't getting it better? Why aren't you improving? Why isn't this affecting your attitude? That's just the way it is. Some things will never change. That's just the way it is. Ah, but don't you believe it? Here's what Isaiah says in chapter 55, verses 1 to 9. Hope, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without costs. Yes, that's what I want. I want to get without giving. Yet to do so would not at all reflect the Lord. He gives, and he does not talk to us about getting. Isaiah 55:2. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. What do you want to get from the things that you do? When you smoke, what is it that you seek? When you drink, what is it that you seek? When you engage in illicit sexual activity of the mind or the body, what is it that you seek? When you see yourself as righteous, better than others, what do you seek? Quite often we spend on things that are not at all genuinely satisfying. We go to the well again and again seeking, but we never find what we're looking for. See, do you ever stop to ask yourself what it is you're looking for? What do you want? If I had a magic wand and I waved it, what would I be giving you? What would you want? A lot of times we don't stop to think about that. Isaiah 55:3, incline your ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercy shown to David. See, the Lord always promises us blessings. What kind of people will we be to turn them down? Yet often we get so enamored with receiving that we fail to realize that reflecting our Lord is done by giving, not merely through the giving of spiritual advice from the Word of God, but giving by bringing what we have and giving it away to take care of the needs of the moment. When I am in Philadelphia, which I was last week, and I come out of Camden, New Jersey, and I'm on my way back to my hotel, there is a woman that always stands by the light just as you turn onto the toll bridge. And I call her Skinny Marie. And I don't know whether you ever saw the movie Pretty Woman, but Skinny Marie was the woman that was killed in the very beginning. And so when they were talking about the woman who was killed, they were saying, yeah, Skinny Marie got it last night. And so I call this lady in my mind Skinny Marie, and as I was writing that, I was thinking, you know, one of these days I'm going to actually ask her what her name is, because I haven't done that yet. But Skinny Marie has perfected the pity face. And so on Tuesday of last week, I saw her out there, and she gave me the pity face, and I just didn't feel like giving her anything. She knows me, so she always stops. You know, like, what you're hoping is if you don't look at them, you know, if you're on the phone and you don't look at them, they won't get to you. But Skinny, that never works with Skinny Marie, because she knows me, and she comes and she looks at me. She leans into the window. It's like, damn it. I ain't got no change today. You know, you got to make some crazy excuse. But I just didn't feel like giving her anything that day. But then the next day she was out there again and I gave her something. And, you know, so one day I didn't see her as a person and then the next day I did. You know, that's me. But really, if I don't give her something on both days, what is my Christianity then? Really? Skinny Marie, here's my book. Why don't you read that? Well, I would read it if I could read. Okay, well, why don't you listen to my lessons online? Yeah, well, I don't have a computer. I sold it for crack. So any other advice? How about if you just give me some money? How about if you just take care of the needs of the moment? You know, that's why we're Christians. To receive and then to turn around and give. And the needs of the moment sometimes require us to roll up our sleeves and just get in the muck. You know, I think we've been going over to the vets for a really long time, but I don't think I've ever seen them happier than when we brought cassette players or CD players. And we were giving them stuff and giving them cards and giving them CDs. And it was like they looked like little kids at Christmas because we just gave them anything. That we tell them with our presence that we love them. But when we tell them by giving them things, we're reflecting our God. And it matters to them. They lit up about it. They were so excited. And I don't know what they did with them, and I don't care. I don't. But just to see their faces for that moment. Because every time we go back to the vets, you know, my concern is, am I going to see everybody that was there last time? You know, because they might not come back. There have been guys who we've seen them and then they didn't come back because they went home to be with the Lord. Isaiah 55:4, behold, I have made Jesus Christ of David's seed a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Isaiah 55:5, behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which knows you not will run to you because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Oh, if our lives could be the same, if we could call, and all the nations would run to us and hear us and listen to us because of our splendid example. I had a phone call this week from a young lady that I haven't talked to in 20 years. And she was a student of mine, and our birthdays are in the same month. And we were catching up, and she's Jewish, and she does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was so funny what she told me. She said, you know what? I remember what you told me a really long time ago. You told me that if I'm on my deathbed, if I think I'm on my deathbed, and I have not believed in Jesus Christ for my whole life, and at that moment I say to him, Father, I believe in Christ, he will come running to me and embrace me, and I'll go to heaven. I remember you told me that. I said, well, did you do it? She said, no. She said, I didn't do that. I can't do that. And a long time ago, the reason she told me that she couldn't do it is because she knows that her mother is going to be in the lake of fire, and she wants to be with her. Oh, man. No, come on. Really? Really? But it's really interesting, isn't it, how the things that we think are throwaway comments to people stick. Isn't that funny? That 20 years later, she still remembers that conversation? Now a word to unbelievers, Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The judgment day, the day when there are all zeros on the scoreboard, comes like a thief in the night. And it comes suddenly and by surprise. So we encourage the unbeliever to repent before it's too late. That's what I was telling my unbelieving friend. Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked, a term for unbelievers, forsake his way. That means turn around and go the other way. Go toward God. Let the unrighteous man, a term for unbelievers, forsake his thoughts. Thoughts like there is no God. Thoughts like the mystery of God can't really be known. And let him return to the Lord, and the Lord will have compassion on him. Let him return to our God, for the Lord will abundantly pardon. Why is the Lord so wonderful? He describes the wonder of himself in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, which say this, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord, Isaiah 55:9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So when we take an adventure into the mind of the Lord, what we're doing is taking an adventure into victory. You see, Christians, all God has planned for you is victory. And I don't care what the scoreboard says right now. I don't care what the score is. You're going to win. You just need to know that. Because that's what God wants to occur. That's what goes on in his mind. So I like all those times when I'm down 10 with 3 minutes to go. Because I know what's going to happen. Because that's where the men and women show up. And they show up with their mentality, and their mentality says, victory, don't know how it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. And I can't tell you how many times that has actually been the case in my life, where I was behind severely in a game and came back from nowhere. And one of my favorite things is hearing the other team say, man, we had that game won. Man. We had that game won. No, you don't have the game won until you have more points than I do and there's zeros on the scoreboard. And that's what the kingdom of death always thinks, that they have that game won. They don't have that game won. We're going to win. We're going to have the victory. And it's already done. It's not like it's, I wonder if we're going to have the victory. It's already been decided in the past. So we continue our study of the fourth passage of Romans chapter 8, which extends from verse 26 to verse 30, and let's review that passage. In the same way we groan within ourselves, Romans chapter 8, verse 23, like it says there, waiting eagerly for our adoption as adult sons, waiting eagerly for the redemption of our bodies, waiting eagerly for the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Just the way we groan, God the Holy Spirit, who is called the first fruits of our salvation, groans to help our weakness. For example, we don't know how to pray as we should, but God the Holy Spirit himself personally intercedes for us in prayer with groanings too deep for words. See, if God the Holy Spirit intercedes for you and says, hey, Father, she's down 10 with 3 minutes left to go. What are we going to do to get her the victory? Then what's going to happen is the victory. And that's what God the Holy Spirit is always doing. He's not scratching his head wondering if he should do it. He's going to do it. Romans 8:27, and God the Father, who keeps on searching the hearts of all those who pray, knows what the mind of God the Holy Spirit is through the groanings which can't be uttered into words, and what the mind of the Holy Spirit is. I want them to win because God the Holy Spirit intercedes for the saints, for all believers in Christ, according to the will of God the Father. And what's the will of God the Father in relation to the saints? He wants you to win. How often? Every time. No losses. The Golden State Warriors, 73 wins, 9 losses. You're 82-0. Shut up about those guys. Romans 8:28, and we know that God the Father causes all things to work together for good to those who love God the Father, to those who are called according to the Father's purpose. So everything that happens in your life, every little step that happens, he is taking that and mixing it into a big stew. And when all is said and done, that's going to be a victory stew. What'd you say? It is delicious. And you're going to sit down at a table right in front of your enemies and eat victory stew. Amen? Romans 8:29. For those whom God the Father foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that the Lord Jesus Christ would be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:30. And those whom God the Father predestined, he also called. And those whom God the Father called, he also justified. And these whom God the Father justified, he also glorified. So our focus in this lesson will be on Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, because those two verses go right behind God's eyeballs and show you exactly what God is orchestrating for you. And you're going to be very impressed with the things that these verses say, but you're going to be even more impressed with what those verses don't say. So let's take a quick music break, and then we'll come back to the passage. The music on the music break is Sing, Sing, Sing by Chris Tomlin.
Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the one. You are the one we're living for. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens we were. Sing, 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 grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. Sing, sing, sing.
Welcome back. Hey, a couple things I wanted to mention. There will be no second recorded lesson today. What we're going to do for the resident congregation is have an Ask the Pastor lesson in the back. And then we're going to do one of those for the non-resident congregation in the middle of March. So that was a request from the non-resident congregation that we do those Ask the Pastor. Huh?
Middle of March.
Or middle of May. Thank you. Yeah. They both began with M, you know. Brother's a little bit behind, so the middle of May. So that's what's going to happen today. So immediately after this lesson, we're going to record the 10-minute lesson, and then we'll go back and have our Ask the Pastor lesson. And what else did I want to tell you? Oh, I want to just say thank you for all the birthday presents. So I appreciated that. I just want to call Tony LaGrasso out a little bit. I got his card, so I opened it up. When I get the cards, I'm immediately shaking them to see what falls out. Not even a crumpled dollar bill, Tony. Come on, man. Give a brother a break. Crumpled up dollar bill. Just kidding on that, but not really. I am. Today's Bible lesson, an adventure into the mind of the Lord. What's going on up in that head versus what's going on in our head? So welcome back. Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30 are the verses of focus. For those whom God the Father foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that the Lord Jesus Christ would be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:30, and those whom God the Father predestined, he also called. And those whom God the Father called, he also justified. And those whom God the Father justified, he also glorified. So I had plans to go deep into the bowels of each one of those terms: foreknowledge, predestination, conformity, firstborn. I was going to make some doctrines for you. But that's not what this passage is. That's not what this part of the package is. It's really one of the most beautiful things that you could ever see when you realize the point of view that it's coming from. And it's coming from an adventure. This is an adventure through God's mind. These verses take us back to the beginning, not a beginning. Because the Lord has always existed. And because there has never been a time that he didn't exist, there was a beginning that was not a beginning. The Lord has no beginning and no ending. And we go all the way back to that time, a beginning without a beginning, that time that is divorced from time because the Lord is not bound by time. What did the Lord want for you, the believer in Christ? He communicates that in Romans 8, 29, and 30. That's what he wants for you. He wanted you to know how special you are to him. And he explains it through the Apostle Paul with the seven things highlighted in Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. So let's let God explain himself to you as we take a journey through his mind. First, foreknowledge. You were foreknown for those whom God foreknew. You were foreknown. Now, fore as a prefix and pre as a prefix mean the exact same thing. They mean before, right? And a prefix is something that comes at the beginning of a word or the beginning of a sentence. A suffix is something that comes at the end for those of you who were sleeping or shooting spitballs in English class. Amen? All right, so a prefix, Alex, you're laughing at that one because you sleep a lot in the English class, don't you? Can you write a 5-paragraph theme? Don't be shaking your head for him. I'm asking him. Can you write a 5-paragraph theme? Okay, well, it'd be a good idea if you learned how to do that before you're 22. Then you'd be better than me, because I didn't learn until I was 22. So, for those whom God the Father foreknew. So when we hear "for" or "pre," we know that it was something that he did in the past. First and foremost, I, your God, knew you in a deep, intimate, and personal way, all the way back in the beginning, not a beginning. What that means is there has never been a time I didn't know you by name, and there never will be a time when I don't know you by name, and I don't know everything about you. There will never be a time when everything about you isn't in my mind. You are always a concern for me, and I consider your problems to be my responsibility. So what is your problem today? What is the problem that you think you have to fix? Because God is saying to you that he considers your problems to be his responsibility. Perhaps what I said about my son in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 will help you understand what I mean. And again, this is God talking to you. 1 Peter 1:20, for the Lord Jesus Christ was foreknown before the foundation of the world. That prefix, fore, F-O-R-E, what does that mean? Pre, before. All right, so for the Lord Jesus Christ was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you. In other words, the Lord became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory. That's what that means. That means that it was decided in the beginning, not a beginning, that the Lord would do that. Long before you were even created, but certainly not before you were thought of. Because immediately and simultaneously, when God thought about creating you, he knew everything that would happen to you, and he knew that he would have to rescue you, and he decided all those things simultaneously. I especially knew you would believe in the Son for your salvation, and I knew I would have to find a way to ensure that your sins were paid for so that we could have a relationship. Foreknowledge. You were foreknown. Before you were even created, he knew every decision you would make, every challenge you would be a part of. I think about a time when I was in Cabo, and I was on a road that had four lanes. And there was another road that goes across. So we're four cars deep, sitting, waiting to go through the light. We're at the red light. And a car coming from this way is coming at 100 miles an hour. And I never saw the car. Never saw it. But God did. And there were four people driving the four cars that were in the first lane. And all of them, God knew personally a billion years ago. And simultaneously, he told all of us to wait. He distracted us somehow so that we didn't take that foot off the brake, put it on the gas, and go. Now, Lila would be dead, right? No matter what God told Lila, she would have been out of there in a hurry as soon as that light turned green. But I'm telling you, that light turned green, and all four people did not move. And then this car comes, boom, through here 100 miles an hour. The guy was obviously drunk. He had run a red light. And if any of us had gotten off the mark, we would have been dead. T-boned. Dead. And a billion years ago, God set it up so that when I was in that situation, that I would not get off the mark too fast. That's how much God pays attention to details. Because he had a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with me even back then. Predestined. There's the pre-word. He also predestined. Not only did I know you, I knew everything about you, including everything you would ever need. So I worked out all the details of your life and put everything in place to ensure that you had a destiny that is befitting of one of my servants. A destiny befitting the child of a king. Luke chapter 14, verses 28 to 30 highlight my thoughts about you. And you are the tower in these verses. Luke 14, 28. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Luke 14, 29. Otherwise, when he's laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him. Luke 14, 30, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Well, when God was thinking about you in the beginning, not a beginning, he knew everything you would need, and he put it all aside before he even created you. He paid for everything concerning you. And so you never have anything to worry about, because I have placed your life on a firm foundation, and I have ensured in advance of creating you that you would have everything you need. Isn't that funny? Isn't that wonderful? And I can really relate to this right now. I'm building a guest house and a closet. And when you do that, you get architectural plans, and then you get a bill. You know, like, this is how much it's going to cost. And we're probably a third of the way through that, and there's an extra $50,000 already that came out of nowhere. Yeah? And when that happens, and you can't cover that, you're that guy with the tower who didn't calculate enough. Like, all of a sudden, never thought about it, but the insurance company says, hey, here's a $500 bill. You need to pay to insure that those structures. Oh, you have to do that? Well, yeah, you have to do that. And, oh, you need bigger lights than we planned because you actually need to see in the when you're in the closet? Oh, well, that's going to cost extra. Oh, you wanted appliances in the guest house? Yeah. Yeah, we kind of wanted to have somebody able to cook over there, yeah. And all of a sudden, the bill runs up. I was wondering why God was giving me so much work this year. Conformed, to become conformed to the image of his son. It was not my intention that you be Christ-like, as so many goofy people say. And that's because you're not an imitation. It is my intention that you be exactly like Christ in every way. Not through some self-righteous attempt on your part to contort yourself, but by the working of God the Holy Spirit to make you exactly like Christ in every way. You are to be holy, blameless, beautiful, graceful, humble, patient, alive, faithful, truthful, and loving, exactly like Christ in every way. Firstborn, so that the Lord Jesus Christ would be the firstborn among many brethren. There is the firstborn son, all others are adopted. You are the adopted adult sons of a king. And like Christ, you will always occupy the highest position at the table of a feast. You will always be with Christ at the table. You have all the privileges that Christ has through your union with him. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 to 15 highlight my thinking on the matter. This is God talking to you. Hebrews 2, 9. But we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God the Father he might taste death for everyone. Hebrews 2, 10. For it was fitting for God the Father, for whom are all things and through whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. Hebrews 2:11. For both the Lord who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason the Lord is not ashamed to call them brethren. Hebrews 2:12. Saying, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, will proclaim your name to my brethren in the midst of the congregation. I will sing your praise. Hebrews 2:13. And again, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, will put my trust in God the Father. And again, behold, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the children whom God the Father has given me. Hebrews 2:14. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, the Lord Jesus Christ himself likewise also partook of flesh and blood, that through death the Lord might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, Satan. Hebrews 2:15, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. In other words, I made it possible for you to have all the privileges of a firstborn without being a firstborn. Called. And these whom God the Father predestined, he also called. After knowing you intimately, setting aside everything for your success, and giving you all the privileges of a firstborn, I called you over to take advantage of the privileges, knowing in advance that you would respond positively to the call. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It was for this God the Father called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He called you over so that you could have glory. And then he justified you. And these whom God the Father called, he also justified. Well, because you have believed, I have declared you righteous. Sin is no longer master over you, and you are not under the law. you are under grace. And now as you sit before me, I am free to call out your name over and over and over again as one who is eternally saved and totally precious in my sight. And then glorified. These whom God the Father justified, he also glorified. I placed you in Satan's kingdom as your training ground. Welcome to the battle. The world hated you and did everything it could to ruin you, which I would never allow to happen. No matter what the scoreboard says with 3 minutes left, you're going to win. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our resurrection life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Your end is glory. Your end is victory. The world will get to see how magnificently you are made. And you will be revealed as mine. And you will be the way I always planned that you would be. So here's the thing that's interesting to me about these verses. There isn't one thing in those two verses about the fall. There isn't one thing in those two verses about the fall of man. Now, you think he didn't know that you were going to fall? There isn't one thing in those verses about sin. Do you think he didn't know you were going to sin? There's nothing in those verses about your mistakes. You know what's wonderful about that? That adventure through God's mind? This is all he sees. He sees that I know you intimately before I even created you. I laid out a perfect path for you to travel, and I funded every step of the way. I made you a privileged firstborn, even though you're not a firstborn. I made you have the same privileges as the firstborn through adoption. I've given you God the Holy Spirit to conform you into my image so that you are exactly like my son. Then I called you to the privilege. I gave you absolute righteousness, justified you. And now, next in the docket, I'm going to glorify you. And I'm not going to see your mistakes. As far as the east is from the west, I'm not going to worry about what you did wrong or what mistakes you made. And I'm going to always see to it that you have the victory. That's the amazing thing about this. And that's why there's no need to go deep with this one. There's no need to create doctrines of predestination and firstborn and conformity. All there is you sitting on the shoulders of your father, looking out through his eyes and seeing exactly what he has planned to you. A plan that is divorced from time. A plan that is divorced from the silly things that happen every day. A plan that is completely divorced from the battle. Because all he's going to do for you is everything. Right? That's right. Thank you, Jesus. And so when June sang, come see a man. Yeah. Come see a man who knows all about you. Who knows what you've done. Who knows the love you need. Come see a man who won't leave or forsake you and who died on a cross to set you free. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. His name is Jesus. Yeah, it's an amazing song. When the Lord Jesus Christ promises salvation, it's a guarantee. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and everyone in your household who also believes. At a moment in time, you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting him for your salvation rather than trusting yourself. And you are saved once for all time. Acts 4:12, there's salvation in no one else. Certainly not in you. There's no other name under heaven that's been given to mankind by which we must be saved except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the conclusion we make from that is that we don't have a God of confusion. Revelation 3:20, behold, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, stand at the door of your soul and I keep on knocking. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, maybe you will, maybe you won't, you have a choice. I will rush in to dine with him and he with me. Acts 2:21, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation will be saved. Closing song is about what you are, God's property.
Our God is one. There is none like him. No one is above him or beside. There is no peer to Almighty God. The Godhead three in one is on our side. We're children of the Father. All who have believed, no one can ever snatch us from his hand. Our Lord hung on the cross, enabled by the Spirit. We testify his power makes us stand. We are God's property, paid for Calvary, redeemed from slavery. We are God's property, we are God's property. Indwelled by Trinity, living integrity, we are God's property. Because God owns us, we are in his care. Our problems, his responsibility. Our God is sovereign, all-knowing and all-wise. He'll finish what he starts in you, believe. We are God's paid for Calvary, redeemed from slavery. We are God's property. We are God's property. Indwelled by Trinity, living integrity. We are God's property. Jesus Christ laid down his life. He paid the price. He
those songs that stop like that, you know, they sneak up on you, you know, you all of a sudden, you know, you're doing and then the next thing you know what I mean? Closing prayer, let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for the trip into your mind. And thanks for helping us to see that the things that we're thinking that would please you aren't the things that please you at all. You're already pleased because in the beginning, not a beginning, you laid out everything. You put it all into place and you ensured that we would walk that way. And even though we have ups and downs and mistakes, and even though we don't see what the end is, because we're bound by time rather than divorced from time, you know what the end is, and it's going to be total victory for us every single time. So thank you for providing that. Help us to keep that at the forefront of our minds, that whenever we're feeling down, remember that we remember to go behind your eyes and look at ourselves as you see us. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.